Hello, welcome to episode 12 of the Vita Academy. I'm Chris Lappin, and joining me this week we've got Peter Prickett.
Good evening. Yeah.
You well?
Not well, thanks. Yourself?
Oh, yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Shortly we'll be joined by development phase scout at Everton, Damien Matthew. Should be an interesting chat about scouting networks. So, but first we're going to discuss the pros and cons of B teams in youth football. So, the obvious pro is more people get to play, is that?
I was posed a question the other day where someone said, what would you do if you had one coach and you had 15 players and then suddenly another 15 players show up and they all show commitment? And the answer was, well, I'd find another coach.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got enough players, then it's great to be able to have A, B, even C teams. We had a couple of years ago, the under-9s had 3 teams, and brilliant. That's gone down slightly to 2 teams, but they've gone up from 5v5 to 7v7.
Yeah.
It's been a natural moving together because the squad's enlarged, and there was a couple who disappeared. So it's served teams quite well, particularly as they get older.
Yeah.
Because the numbers, if they get join and merge together to create enough players. Where there are problems are when either the A and the B team don't talk to each other, they don't get on with each other, parents don't get on, or sometimes the kids don't get on, or the coaches don't get on, and then you end up with factions. So it's not an A and a B team, it's just two teams who happen to be at the same club but don't ever speak to each other, which rather renders the point of A and B teams useless, because really you want to be able to have an A and a B team who are in different divisions so that the players who need a greater challenge can play in the higher division, the players who are developing more slowly can play in the lower division, and if they need to move because they suddenly had a leap forward in development, they can move across.
So I was thinking that probably the fairest way to do it in the beginning, do you know they say players who are born September to February tend to have better chance? So would the fair way to put players born September to February in the A team to begin with, then they're later in the B team, and then after a few games, based on ability, you'd be able to swap between?
Yeah, it's something we've considered, but there hasn't been the opportunity to do it thus far.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of ways you can decide it. Some seemingly more arbitrary than others. The way that you suggest is definitely one that I've considered, but we haven't had the opportunity to do it yet.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to get around the parents as well, if you can say, well, to begin with, we're doing it based on when you're born.
Yeah, it's a very simple way of going. Well, it's not based on anything other than birthday. What's happened so far with the club where I am is the teams have already been divided by the time I got there. One of the first things that I did when I got in was I was asked to have a look at two teams training to work out and set of A and B's. Walked straight into a minefield, basically. I mean, the two teams were in different divisions, so there was a good case for moving people around, but some parents just did not want the kid to move. For whatever reason, sometimes there's a very good reason, like the kid doesn't get on with the other kids, and his two best mates play for the A team, and if he plays for the B team, he probably won't want to play football anymore. In which case, we'd probably go, okay, stay. But often the reason is a parent goes, how dare you say my son is a B team player? That's where often the problems lie.
Yeah.
People see it as a slight. And as was said recently to a parent, the reason that we do it is not sabotage, it's not weakening or strengthening a team. We move a kid because it's the best thing for that kid, or we believe it's the best thing for that kid. We might get it wrong, especially if we did it quite early this year with one of the age groups. Now, what might happen is someone could have a huge growth spurt over the summer, put on muscle mass and height, and basically come back as a beast.
Yeah.
And you might need to move from the B and the A team, from the B team to the A team, quite quickly. But at least we've got the possibility to move him.
Mm.
And that's why I think there needs to be a good relationship between the A's, the B's, or whatever you choose to call them, Lions and Tigers, etc., etc., in order for that movement to happen. And for everyone to understand, it's for the kids. The same parent said to me, how are the B team ever going to progress through the divisions if they are only a feeder team for the A's? And my response was, I don't really care if they get promoted or move up the divisions. That's not the point. The point is what's best for the individual player, not what is best for the team. It's all set up to help each player get better, not to get your team promoted into the Premier of the Harrow Youth League or Hayes and Middlesex Friendly League or the Liverpool Backyard League or whatever.
And we're delighted to be joined on the line by former assistant head coach at Charlton and current development phase coach at Everton, Damien Matthew. How are you doing this evening, Damien?
Hi there, good evening.
Yeah, so for those who missed our first interview with Damien earlier this year, he is a former England Under-21 international who played for Chelsea, Crystal Palace, Burnley, and then he's joined us today to discuss his coaching career. So what's coaching getting into coaching always the plan after retirement?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, you're coming towards the end of your career, and mine finished early because of injury, and so you had time while you were recovering from your operations and trying to rehabilitate yourself on the first injury, which is a back operation. And then with the second one, the hip, I really sort of had made up my mind that I wanted to stay in football. I wasn't sure in what capacity, because some players are fortunate and they can go straight into the senior level, but I've always enjoyed the journey of certain things, and to be involved in coaching and around good people has always been a pleasure of mine.
So you've had a variety of roles with Charlton, Chelsea, Wolves. Could you take us through your coaching journey? So did it start? It started at Chelsea, was it?
Yeah, I mean, I was 29, as you mentioned, when I retired, and I mean, John Ward has been a good role model and mentor to me. He was my England Under 21 coach with Ray Harford, and so I'd had a really good relationship with John. He was at Wolverhampton Wanderers, so he just said, look, while you're thinking or looking for an opportunity of what you're trying to do, we need someone to scout in the sort of London and South East area. So I'd done scouting for Wolverhampton Wanderers and watching games, which was first team level and reserve team level as it was at the time. And again, that just gives you a real impetus in terms of watching games and looking at games, tactics, players, and really sort of whet the appetite in terms of getting back into the coaching. And then I was lucky enough to get back into Chelsea's academy, and I started off with two roles. I was sort of community and academy, and it was really rewarding because community is really tough, you know, you're dealing with all different levels of player, and so that was enjoyable, and it challenges you to think on your feet, and it was an enjoyable process. And then eventually ended up being full time in the academy for 6 years.
Yeah, and then you see Your coach career seemed to take off once you got to Charlton, because you started the under-18s, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, as I mentioned, though, the process of going from sort of community to academy, it was 12s, 13s at Chelsea, and then, but also involved with the development centres, which I'm really passionate about. And, I mean, it's ironic, to be fair, because Chelsea get a lot of good mentions, and rightly so, for winning the Youth Cup, the amount of time they had, but when you actually studied the ages of the players, and a lot of them were as you came through the development centre programme and that. And so it really does show you how healthy it can be to have them programmes and the time and the effort into that development of young players. And then going to the opportunity arose to come to Charlton. I was under 16 coach at the time at Chelsea, and just felt I really wanted the challenge of under 18s. And fortunate enough for me, Charlton gave me that opportunity. And it was a tremendous time, to be fair. Really do enjoy being on the grass every day and coaching players morning and afternoon, and just working with good players who want to improve, trying to help them in whatever capacity you can, from the football, from the technical and tactical, obviously. But what was really paramount was the physical development with our young players, and the importance of bringing good people in that I worked with to try and help that as well. And then obviously the final, which is just ongoing, you learn. learn about players and people as you travel on your journey, and how they deal with certain moments is how you help them. So that's really rewarding from a young player's perspective.
So you mentioned that you've done both coaching and scouting. Do you have a preference?
I mean, obviously, my situation at the moment is with Everton. It's fantastic because I am scouting. I'm London South East, and I'm a development-based scout working under Jamie Hoyland, who's the sort of heads up me and Tony Grant. And then obviously he reports, and we report into Steve Walsh and Lawrence Stewart, who are the sort of obviously Steve Walsh being the head man, and Lawrence, who sort of helps Steve from an analytical point of view, recruitment point of view. There's a really good team at Everton in that field, and that reporting obviously to then David Unsworth and John Everett, who won't physically take the 23. There's a real emphasis on joined up thinking at Everton. So because of that situation, I'm really enjoying the scouting, and obviously they've then all got to try and get good players for Ronald Koeman and the first team. So there's a real togetherness, there's a real ambition at the football club. So I'm really enjoying that. And yes, I'm 46 years old, and it'd be lovely to have a coaching career still, but I never like to look too far in the future when it's this situation. Then you just enjoy, as long as you're around good people, as I keep alluding to, and you're in an ambitious, forward thinking environment, then I'm really enjoying that side of the game at the moment.
Just before I move on to a couple of questions about scouting, you mentioned joined up thinking. It's a lovely phrase, but what does it, in Everton's case, what does it actually mean?
I mean, yeah, it's a good point there. I mean, I've heard some dialogue with the PFA the last couple of days about it, but just from Everton's perspective, what you've got there is a good academy. It's obviously got a wonderful tradition in terms of young players that it's helped develop over many years and that. And again, just tell someone there also, like Joe Royal, in the environment, it just shows you how important at the club they recognise that to have that joined up thinking, you must have a history. And people who are part of the club who have a very good history with the football club. So, and that obviously goes right through. They've got former players that play for the club who are coaching in the academy. So you've got the players, and from a coaching perspective, helping there alongside obviously good teachers and educators who are good coaches as well. So again, there's joined up thinking there in terms of where we've got an affiliation and good depth to our coaching staff on all areas. Players who've been part of the club, people are very good at their job and in their role. So, and that goes through the football club, so that the academy, into the under-23s, and then to the first team as well, where obviously you've got someone like Steve Walsh, who's highly respected and well regarded from a scouting point of view and coaching point of view, because he's the manager at Leicester. But what he's brought, obviously being the sort of technical director at the football club, is that he is the main point of call on recruitment that then obviously works with Ronald Koeman to deliver that success on the pitch. And I think a perfect example recently, you'll see Morgan Schneiderlin was signed for a good amount of money, rightly so, because he's a top player. And but also they signed Adam Ola-Lookman as well from Charlton. So again, the joint up thinking is you've got experience, a senior player, but also then plugging them young players in, as they've done with Calvert-Lewin, as they've done with Tom Davis, as they've done with Mason Holgate as well. So that's the joint up thinking is that everyone is working. There's a recruitment strategy, there's a player philosophy, they obviously have a business side in terms of the football club and how that then coincides with the football and the recruitment. So just joined up thinking and togetherness in as many areas as possible. We know it's not a perfect world football, it's very, very personal and it's very results driven, but as long as you can always look at the big picture, I think that's really helpful in football clubs.
Coming from Charlton is obviously in your area. Did you have a look at him yourself?
I mean, he's obviously a player that, just as when I was at with the first team, you knew about him. And then as I was there with Kai Luzon, we would have him over to train with the first team. And you just knew that if he continued on his rate of development, that there was a really good footballer there, a really good talent. But what I allude to a lot, but also a really hungry and driven person, and very humble person as well. So he had all the qualities needed to be a top player. And you're so pleased that he did very well for Charlton. And I know they got relegated, but him personally, played in the Championship, scored goals, played in League One, scored goals, and was obviously highly thought of at Everton. And again, Steve Walsh being the driving force on the recruitment side, had seen him play and really liked him. And yeah, lucky enough for Everton, they saw it over the line and signed him amongst good competition.
Yeah, he's an example of a player that plenty of people would have been looking at in the first place. But how do you guys actually find out about players in the first place? Because sometimes players who seem to appear from nowhere, and yet they, within, it seems like weeks, everyone's looking at them.
Yeah, no, very much so. No. I mean, I think Dele Alli is a prime example of that. You know, I mean, most of the London teams, if not all the London teams and the Midland teams, would have known about him. He's playing in League One every week. They would have had scouts watching. And in fairness, you get to, because of the academy system, where, for example, just using an example, so Arsenal may play Tottenham, obviously from under 12, so under 13, under 14, and obviously the scouts of them football clubs or the coaches of them football clubs will play against these players over 2, 3, 4 seasons. And certain players just obviously stand out. It's just natural. So there's always players that are known about, if that makes sense. You've also then got boys that obviously come into academies late, maybe under 13, under 14, under 15, under 16. And again, they just come on the scene very, very quickly. But what you find is if they are going to be good players, again, using Ademola Lookman as an example, he never came into Charlton until he was under 16. But as soon as he came in at under 16, he was very, very good. He stepped in. The youth team, he was very good. He stepped to 21, stroke 23 as it is this season, but he stepped into the 21s, he was very good, and continued that rise if you want. And again, you never know how good these players are going to be, but they just show just good potential, good quality, and so most people become aware of them. There's massive structure in football clubs now on the scouting side. Again, certain clubs will have, and we have it at Everton, where obviously, like I mentioned earlier, myself and Tony Grant, we mainly really look at from 17 to 21. So we're very specific with Jamie Hoyle and Ben, our boss, in that, where another club will then concentrate their academy staff on maybe 9 to 12s, and then other ages 13 to 16 or 13 to 18. But there's a real good structure. But again, that's thinking, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of actually documenting who they've seen, what club they play for, what position they play for. So there's a database of players as well.
So it's quite possible a player could have been on a club's radar since the age of 8 or 9, even though he's at another academy for all that time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know in terms of clubs how low they go. I mean, I would say with our club, it's mainly probably from, there would be a knowledge of 16 to 18, but realistically, it's probably like a player, youth team, 23s, sort of that age. Once they become full-time scholars is where you really get to know what players and what club, and obviously, yes, they can then reaffirm what you might have seen before, but they probably now go onto a database, I'd say 16, 17.
All right, so there's a feeling that at that age, there's a good chance that you can actually tell, whereas obviously at the lower and younger ages, who knows?
No, very much so, you know, and that's, for me, that is the beauty of football, you know, and ultimately, every player, whether he's 15, 16 or 29, 30, he continues to learn and he continues to develop. So again, from a scouting perspective, obviously you look at a player and think he has these qualities, you like them qualities. Again, what's then important is that obviously he's going to fit maybe the environment that he's coming into. Again, I use Morgan Snyder as a good example. Everton have got a fantastic player in Gareth Barry, but obviously he's an experienced player that his years of playing are sort of dwindling, if that makes sense. So obviously, by buying a player like Morgan Snyder, they've now got a great player who can play with Gareth Barry, but potentially take over his mantle. So that's again really positive for me. If you get down a football club, that you're actually maybe looking to replace someone while he's actually still at the football club, because that's healthy. Instead of, we've seen many a club, Man United being a prime example, that when Ferguson went and it's a change of manager and players retire, it was very hard for them to sort of replicate that success they've had. It just shows you how difficult it is at every level of football. And Charlton again is another example of that, being a Premier League team, Championship, and now League One. It's very, very hard if you don't have a really good recruitment strategy to keep your club at the forefront of where it should be.
There's a phrase that they used to use across the road from you of evolution, not revolution. you mentioned particular qualities you like in players. Has the qualities that you're looking for changed as you change club, or have you broadly looked for the same qualities in players?
I think it's a great question, because I talk to a lot of young coaches, and again, it's like the question I've been asked when I've been on courses is what will the game look like in 3, 4, 5 years? And I think it's a great question to ask, because you don't know the ultimate answer, but if you just look at the quality of, say, strikers at the moment, and I use Barcelona as an example, and you look at Neymar, Messi and Suarez, all three of them are sort of like the different type of striker that has been prominent that we've been used to in this country, and to really develop that plaque. And so I've always been very open-minded on a personal level about football, about coaching, about recruitment. But obviously going to Everton, it's more about, well, what does the club want in terms of position? Why? What are they looking for in that position? You look at recently, if I just analyse some of their signings at, say, senior level, they signed Ashley Williams at the beginning of the season, they signed Morgan Schneidlin that we mentioned. And then if you go back to, say, the area that where I'm in, is that you've signed an Ademo Lookman. You say, well, why would they sign him? You sign him because he's a player who, at his age, had probably played near on, he's probably been the most successful young player, English player, of playing games in terms of the amount of games. But what was great for that is, because there's many a young player playing in the English Football League, but he'd actually scored goals and he'd actually performed as well. So he fit the profile of a player that has the potential to be a Premier League player, and Everton have been the ones that are sort of paid the money to go and get him and keep developing him, basically. So it's not really necessarily what I specifically look for. It's what's recommended to us. These are the types of players we're looking, and then the club, which is brilliant for us as scouts, they trust your judgment to go and look for them players and them types of players so they could benefit Everton Football Club.
Does the players that you currently have in your academy affect the positions and players that you then go and look for? So if you have, like, Davis in his role, would you go, we're not going to look for a player who can play or is similar to him because we've already got him?
Yeah, I mean, it's. You're always looking at the football clubs to have a squad of players that will improve the team. So, and as you alluded to there, you've got a fantastic young player in Tom Davis who has benefited by playing with Morgan Schneidlin, playing with Gareth Barry, playing with the Juicy Guy, and that. So, you look at the quality of players that he's playing with in the position that he's ultimately going to play. And he is playing a little bit further forward, isn't he, with Ross Barkley and that, you know. So he just shows you again how he's adapted to the Premier League and first-team environment. So you never say, oh, we won't buy exactly a player in some position, because if he became available and the club thought it was right that they needed another type of player like that in that position because they're boosting the squad and looking to move the club and the squad forward, then you would look. But ultimately as well, you would have to be a very good player, because Tom Davies is arguably one of the best young players in England, isn't he? In his role, he's proven that by playing in the Premier League and playing for Everton. So he doesn't, you never rule anything out, but of course you then prioritise in terms of areas what you may be, just use an example, you might be like Seamus Coleman, for example, has had the injury, but they've already got Mason Holgate, they've got John Joe Kenny, so they've got real positive players that could potentially step in. So, again, alluding to what we said earlier, it's so important about having a good squad, and it's so important about the recruitment side of your football club, because you're not always thinking about today, you've also got to think about tomorrow.
So we recently had sorry, cough. All right, so you mentioned in our chats on Twitter that you recently went out to Scouting in Portugal. Was it a successful visit?
I mean, it was a good experience. I mean, from my perspective, to go abroad, had the opportunity. Jamie, as I mentioned earlier, who's the head of the play scouting, he's been out with, obviously, the England played recently in Portugal and watched the different teams out there. So, again, it's part of our remit to look at players home and abroad.
Yeah.
And always with the sort of end result being, can they improve the football club and do they have a chance to progress and make the first team? I mean, for me personally, and I mean, just in terms of talking about the scouting and recruitment, I'll let you obviously edit it, but I've got a wonderful opportunity coming up. I'm due to be going to Australia, the Australian Youth Football Institute. So I'll have to text you the name probably actually, you know, but and they're like a soccer school type organisation, so I think they're very much grassroots level, but I'm really looking forward to just seeing how they run their development side of football out there. So again, to have that experience is available, and look forward to that.
Is that Tim Cahill connection?
No, it's not. He's separate to Everton, so yeah, don't worry about that on air, you know. But it's something that, I mean, you can mention that basically the professional, we'll name it the League Managers Association, sort of as being a member of that, they just offer the opportunities for coaches, scouts to go out there. And lucky enough for me, they chose me to go out there as sort of an international coach and just see how they work, what good practice going on out there. give my sort of opinion and experience and just to sit, have a look, really. And obviously then if someone does have show good potential, then of course there could be an opportunity back in the UK and England.
That sounds good. So, I've really enjoyed speaking to you today. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Brilliant. Look forward to it, Chris.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Many thanks to Damien for joining us this week. Next week, we are joined again by Gerard Jones. You know, he's going to discuss dealing with parents. And as he works in America, I'm sure it's going to be fun. Good night.